All right, you're back in the DFSR, and we're here with our daily Major League Baseball podcast for Friday, September 9th. I am Doug Norrie. That is
James Davis.
And here we go. This is a big Friday in sports. We have a football podcast coming up after this one as well. Want to hammer home all of the baseball value, though, you can grab on a big Friday slate. We're from DFSR.com. DailyFantasySportsRankings.com for the long version. Go over right now. You can still grab a free trial to our NFL projections good through Sunday, where you can take a look at FanDuel, DraftKings projections, plus our brand new player lab for NFL as we get fully in gear for that sport. And as we're starting to wind down the MLB season, that package covers MLB projections and optimal lineups as well. So really everything under one umbrella on this awesome time where the sports overlap. Free for now through Sunday, and then, you know, after that, $29.95 a month. Buddy, baseball. Kershaw's back today. I'm just going to lead off with that one. I was pretty excited. I hadn't really been following the injury news. I mean, I knew he was hurt, clearly. I hadn't been following the timetable on when he was going to return, so he had just been a guy that had just, I was totally off my radar. I see that he's starting today. Your thoughts on Kershaw going in here in terms of, is he viable coming back from the DL to play today, or do we need to sort of take a wait-and-see approach on him?
Well, it's not an easy situation with Kershaw. The thing about him is that, and I think people somehow underrate him, even though he's got a 1.7 ERA and he's great and by all traditional metrics. Kershaw, the 145 Ks against 9 walks and 121 innings means that he's just in the tier one and no one else is 1A. The big problem with it today, well, there's two major problems. You know that in the DFSR offices, I am the one who's a lot more gun shy in terms of, you know, throwing guys out there back off injury. You know, he took the one rehab start in high A, obviously completely demolished the poor guys that had to face him for the 3 innings that he was in there. But it really was only 3 innings. And given that he just missed a huge chunk of time, it'd be shocking if the Dodgers were anything but completely cautious with him here. That being said, he's so much better than the field in terms of just how good he is at pitching baseballs that it's going to be it's always hard to get away from him, particularly because he's not that expensive. That being said, there's other extenuating circumstances here, too. The fact that he's facing Jose Fernandez means that the win is a lot less likely than it is in a normal Kershaw start. Miami's a good park, but this is just one of those. I don't think you miss out on too much by waiting for one start and seeing how much he's going to pitch or if he's back to his old self and all that kind of thing.
Right. I mean, right now I have him at 5.5 innings or something like that, which might even be on the high side. The only reason it's 5.5 is because he's so efficient. he could probably do 5.5 in like 80 pitches in the right kind of circumstance. And so,
that might be a little aggressive,
but usually we have him like in that 6.75 to 7 range. And so I gave him a healthy downgrade. It's close on FanDuel where he's only 11,000. I mean, clearly this will be the cheapest you'll ever get Kershaw. And so, but I think I'm with you. Even if you were to double his pitch count from his last rehab start, so get into that 80 pitch count range, I'm just not sure you're getting the upside. If he was going against anyone but Fernandez and that money line was just a little higher, like minus 200 or something, then I think I would be okay with it. But it's just, yeah, the matchup, there's just all those little pieces kind of add up in general.
Exactly. Well, he's so much less likely to be in position to get a win if he goes, say, 5 innings with Fernandez on the other side, just because, you know, the run line for this game is absurdly low anyway. I mean, there's talk of a pitch count here. There's been no precise number put on it. But yeah, it's kind of a tricky spot. I would guess that, you know, again, with a herniated disc, that's not really something you want to press the issue on. So I would be surprised if he were chalk, you know, anything like chalk. And given that there's other reasonable options today, too.
Buddy, as someone who's had a herniated disc issue, I can totally I feel like I'm with Kershaw on this one in terms of recovery time. I have a herniated disc from a long time ago.
Are we allowed to tell the story of how that happened?
It just happened at my bachelor party, and that's all anyone really needs to know about. I don't think we need to go too far.
Our mutual bachelor party, which is not something many listeners will be aware of.
And just so we did not get married to each other. It wasn't a mutual bachelor party because we got married to each other. We got married a week apart from each other, so we just did it.
Different
people, yeah. So that could be confusing on a couple different fronts. Didn't want to send any wrong message that we were married, although I don't really, it wouldn't matter if we were, obviously. But yeah, to say a similar bachelor party, herniated disc, physical therapy, the whole deal, and yada yada yada. Anyway, moving on. Where are the rest of? So if we're not doing Kershaw today, well, let's talk about some of the other pitching options. You know, we mentioned Fernandez against the Dodgers. he gets kind of, it's one of the rare times you'll see Fernandez as a pretty heavy dog. It really only against Kershaw would he be this heavy of a dog, but I don't think there's anyone else in the
he's
league.
He's a heavy dog.
Yeah, it did sound a little Mike Francesa-y there, I think. Well, do not do your Chris Russo impersonation. So, give me some other, you know, where can I go for value today in terms of pitching if we're just thinking Kershaw is just not safe enough for the salary?
Well, I mean, the tricky thing after Kershaw on FanDuel in particular is that then you get like four pitchers all almost in the exact same tier and in our system almost all with the exact same projections. So
right.
You can just make a list, I guess, and kind of work through them.
Well, give out who are those guys, because if you're not
leaving us. Right. So it's Jose Fernandez, Bumgarner, John Lester, and Yu Darvish. Fernandez is in essentially the exact same situation as Kershaw, minus the injury concerns, obviously. But I should say plus probably a worse matchup here. The Dodgers do have a ton of guys who can hit right-handed pitching. They're lefties, plus Justin Turner, who's a reverse platoon guy. Good park, obviously, but Kershaw's presence makes the likelihood of a win greatly diminished as well, given that the Marlins will probably have scored zero runs in the first five innings. So I don't think you want to look at him for cash games. I mean, are you on the same page here?
Yeah, no, I don't think you can do it. It's too much. You need the win, even on DraftKings, where it's not as important. You still need to have some kind of win expectation. And there are other guys that have it, and so I'm just fine getting away from him.
Right. So then, I mean, as you go down the list, there are question marks all over the place here. So the next guy is Madison Bumgarner. He actually does have the run line on his side. The Giants are a -190 favorite. Ruby De La Rosa pitching for the Diamondbacks. No great shakes, certainly not in the conversation of the other guys we've mentioned here.
One.
The major issue here is the park. Arizona is not Coors Field, maybe not even Texas, but it's in that discussion, and Bumgarner certainly gets an overall boost from pitching at home in San Francisco. So, you know, generally speaking, we don't love to take a pitcher in such a bad park. And the Diamondbacks have also been amazing against left-handed pitching this season, probably bearing the lead there a little bit. Second in the majors in WOBA against lefties. And while they do strike out at an above-average rate, this is really just not the matchup probably you want to jam Bumgarner home in.
Yeah, no, I agree. They have Pollock back now, which probably helps even boost their line against lefties for the season anyway, and they were already decent. So, yeah, I don't think Bumgarner... He's probably, you know, talent-wise, probably the next guy there. Although, I mean, Darvish, Lester, there's some other guys to consider here.
Why don't you go into Darvish and Lester?
Yeah, Lester, I'm not really that excited for Lester. Low money line in Houston against a predominantly righty-heavy Astros team. They do strike out a lot, but there's a lot of downside with that matchup for Lester. They're, you know, moving into the AL, doesn't get to face the pitcher slot again, which is just a little bit worse for him in general. The Astros just tend to scare me. They'll go four really pretty good to above average righty bats in the first four slots, and it doesn't get so much easier as you get down to the bottom of the lineup. So they are just not a team that I really want to face. And then Darvish gets the Angels, who just don't really strike out. And so I don't know. Both those guys, everyone seems that whole tier of pitching, that whole 10,000 or so, I think those are guys are all $10,000 or $11,000 pitchers on FanDuel, all worry me. And then you get like one more where you get the last guy in that tier on FanDuel is Carlos Martinez. He has by far the highest money line, but he strikes out by far the least amount of guys of that group.
Yeah, he's the worst pitcher in that group, and it's not even close. Unfortunately, his price buoyed significantly by a little bit of run hot recently, gathering up a bunch of wins. If you take the wins away or give him wins in, you know, half of those games, which might have been fair, he starts to look a little bit less attractive. But definitely has that capable. I mean, he struck out 13 against Milwaukee. So, you know, going up against Milwaukee again here means that, hey, maybe you could strike out 13, right?
Yeah, the Brewers K a ton. They get worse, obviously, when they move away from Milwaukee. Martinez, like we said, is just the worst pitcher of this group. And I don't know. This is where it all. I mean, right now he's the play on FanDuel according to our system. So, yep. And that's boosted a lot by the money line, I think, because these other pitchers, when you get significantly decreased win expectation compared to where they usually are, like Lester is almost never a -130. You know, Darvish is never really this low. Kershaw for sure. So, and Fernandez the reverse line. So, all these guys are in these weird spots where I don't know. But the problem is it's so hard to just bank on that win. I understand why our system has Martinez there, and I like I said, it's predominantly run line influenced. But it's just the whole thing's got me worried. It wouldn't be shocking to me either to have one of these guys just go off and pitch a gem. I just don't think it's likely considering all the different scenarios they have.
Well, I think, and so let me, I think, caveat that a little bit. I think it is moderately likely that one of those guys goes off and pitches a gem. And in fact, you know, some group of that pitcher is going to get the win. And the thing about when you're projecting out stuff like this, for cash game purposes, you know, basically when we're trying to hit that 50%, you know, mean projection sort of thing, we are giving people credit for a partial win. And the reality of the day is that the win is a binary, right? You either get 0 points for it or 12 points for it and nothing in between on FanDuel. And so if you're playing in a big tournament, like I think pretty much unquestionably a lot of the other pitchers we've mentioned have greater upside because they just, some of them will get the win, you know.
Right.
It's just that none of them is especially likely compared to their usual expectations, and that's what makes them, you know, less attractive today, I think, than on a normal day.
Yeah, because
I think of that group, Martinez is, you know, as quote-unquote safe as it gets when it comes to acquiring the win, and none of those other guys in the top tier are.
And that's the big problem on FanDuel with having that win worth so many points, is those 12 points really just do make or break. That they really dramatically shift the cash line all over the place, because you just need to hit. You basically need, on a slate like this, you have to have your pitcher get the win. There's just too many guys, right? And so there's just too many. There's too many good pitchers going where, I hate to say need, you really do need your pitcher to get that. And yeah, Martinez is in that spot, but again, we're projecting him for, I don't know, you know, 60% of 40% of the win or something like that. I can't remember the exact number that we use, but
sure. And a win is worth what, 4 strikeouts?
Right, exactly. And so is he you know, likely to get 4 less strikeouts than some of these guys? Maybe. I don't know. So this is a hard one for me. If we go down a little bit more. Another big money line favorite today is Tanner Roark against the Phillies. He is by far the highest money line guy. I'm pretty sure he's like -250.
Yep.
Is that a situation where you can take, you know, again, slightly worse, not even slightly, worse peripherals against a bum hunting team with a huge, we're coming in as a huge favorite? Is he a guy you can consider in cash?
I mean, hopefully I probably have said all I need to say about how I feel about Tanner Roark just by sighing and saying I mean when I threw it out there. I'm not excited about Tanner Roark at all. I mean, the peripherals are just so bad on him that I think scraping around for a win here is probably a mistake. I mean, just even looking at the last, I don't know, couple months of performance, he's got several games where he's walked as many or more guys than he struck out.
Mm-hmm.
He, you know, isn't, I mean, he's on a good team. The Nats aren't like a dominant team necessarily. And while the Phillies have trouble hitting, obviously, you know, they don't have a ton of great guys, they do have some guys with upside. And so I think if I'm making that deal with the devil of trading peripherals for consistency, I'll just take Carlos Martinez. I don't see any reason to save $1,500 on Roark and introduce that much more uncertainty into my life.
Yeah, I agree. And I just don't think there's almost no upside for him at all. I think he's a guy for our projections. He's another one that just has to get the win. Like for his to hit his projection, like he needs pretty much all that, because he's just not going to make it up in innings and strikeouts and some of the other pieces that those other ace level guys will. And those ace level guys all have those are the guys we talked about at the top. Those guys have the benefit of longer leashes than some of these other middle tier pitchers, and we've talked about this before. I think we talked about it recently with Kluber, and actually, just to be totally results oriented for a second, the thing I said about Kluber that day actually just totally came to fruition. He allowed 4 runs, but he still pitched 7 innings, and there's just almost no pitchers in the league that will allow 4 runs and pitch 7 innings. Except
it's really hard to state how big a difference that makes too, for all sorts of reasons. Obviously, acquiring more strikeouts, just getting the extra points from the innings pitched, but it just raises your floor so dramatically when your team is going to leave you out there. Because I mean, you take 2 different scenarios, right? Like where you go 5 innings and allow 4 earned runs. Well, that's already a disaster. So you're going to lose if your guy goes 5 innings and 4 runs. And so if he goes, say they leave him out there for another inning, and then he goes like 6 innings and 6 runs, well, who cares? You already lost anyway. All those extra innings are just all upside. And so, yeah, I think that's a really, really great thing to keep an eye on.
And so, and like even a guy like Carlos Martinez doesn't fall into that category. So if you look at his last recent game log where he's been, you know, even that game where he had 13 Ks in 6 innings against the Brewers, that's you leave him in there because he's dominating game. Like he had 1 run in 6 innings. They let 98 pitches, done, right? And
crazy.
That's a very scary proposition if you think that he just isn't going to – if 100 pitches for the Cardinals is that's it for him, right? If he's anywhere – and if he's a little below, wait, maybe when the pitcher spot comes up the next inning, that you're kind of dusted on him. And so those pitch count things, being able to stay in longer in the game, those are things that Bumgarner and guys like Lester just do have in their favor. And so even maybe Darvish to some degree. I don't know. This is a weird spot. We're falling in the middle on a lot of these guys today. I'm concerned. I have concerns for all of them. And I'm especially concerned because of how much I need to pay for them. So I don't.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, well, so another guy I think maybe people want to take a look at is Julio Teheran. Teheran is, you know, he kind of falls into, we're still in this discussion of trading some upside for safety here, but Teheran with a walk rate below 2, K rate over 8, and a good matchup with the Mets. I mean, you're again not getting much money line help here today. -117 for the Braves isn't really inspiring a lot of confidence in me personally, but he'll be another guy people will consider.
Yeah, he's a slight favorite. Mets are no real great shakes on offense. I can see that. This is just all, I don't know, it's all yucky to me. That's an industry term, yucky, in case you weren't aware. So just kind of
well, also,
something else pros throw around.
Gesellman, G-Sellman.
Gesellman. Mets. Gesellman.
Well, first of all, I like the universal industry double-checking the spelling and assuming that their data was sending them a bad feed when his name came across for that first start.
Yeah, like, hey, you're missing a vowel.
I just know for sure that that's what happened to me and every person in our chat on that day. Is this really this guy's name? The low ERA is not indicative of the real skills there. 11 Ks against 7 walks and 15 innings. He's not a real guy. Don't consider him for your punts, even though the Braves are a bad lineup.
Not easy for the Braves to be, you know, decent favorites against many teams. Not going to happen
for
them. Not going to happen for them a lot, and it's really just tells a story mostly on the pitching side of for the Mets. So, Teheran's just kind of one of those guys that I don't go, it just doesn't jump off the page at me. But really, I can't reiterate enough how on the fence on just about every guy I am today. One guy that the system likes and really has never seen a start where they didn't want to shove him in on DraftKings is Michael Pineda. Pineda gets the start against Tampa Bay. They K a lot, but it's in Yankee Stadium. 7,400 on DraftKings is really the story behind him. Can you stomach throwing Pineda out there against the Rays in this situation?
Yeah, I mean, it's getting harder and harder, right? The system loves those peripherals, you know?
Right.
And the peripherals are there, and he's still living up to them. You know, there's no indication that he's not a strikeout per inning guy. I just, you know, you have to wonder at what point do you stop blaming bad luck? So like a loss against Kansas City, 6 innings pitched, 8 Ks, 5 earned runs. Like that's not great. But no walks at Seattle, 6 Ks, 2 walks, 5 earned runs. You know, I think the answer is yes, you can stomach him, especially on DraftKings. I wouldn't bother on FanDuel, but yeah, it's not going to feel good. It never does, right? Good players don't tend to play pitchers who feel good in their pitcher 2 slot on DraftKings just because the pricing is so tight and money is so scarce, but it's not going to feel good.
Well, he's such an interesting case. Like you it's very difficult to be a righty. Very difficult to be a righty in Yankee Stadium to start. And so balls, you know, as evidenced by the last 2 years for him, home run to fly ball ratio of 15% and 16%, which is really, really high, way higher than his career numbers coming from Seattle, which makes sense. Much harder to hit a ball out in Seattle. But just for 7,400, you'll almost never get a guy that has 10 K per nine upside at 7,400. XFIP is 3.35 as opposed to the 5.10 ERA. You're right. The system sees the peripherals and just wants to keep doing it. He just has issues. He has BABIP issues. He has some home run issues, and those things aren't. It's getting out of the realm of bad luck for me. It's like when we talked about Price, you know, David Price, and they're like, oh, his home run to fly ball ratio is up. Maybe that's bad luck. Well, not when it's the Green Monster standing out there for him. And so maybe that if you're going to be that kind of profile pitcher, balls are just going to get out of you. And that's just
nature. So let's back up on that a little bit, though, because Pineda this season and last season higher WOBA on the road or higher WOBA allowed on the road than at home. So, like, I mean, maybe that speaks more to your point. I'm not sure, but I think the Yankee Stadium thing is a little bit more of a narrative piece for him than it is the way it's actually played out, which isn't to say that he just might not be as good a pitcher as we thought he was. And I'm prepared to say that. But I do think that people who hold a steady hand on him are going to be rewarded at some point.
Well, that's what I was going to say, is that we use numbers like, you know, K per nine, K to walk rate. We use XFIP a lot. And those, I was, you know, just over the long term, those things tend to be correct. Like those, the pitchers tend to regress toward those numbers that they've shown for their career. I mean, obviously you'll have dips in K per nine if as you get older or something else changes, but for the most part, those things stay pretty steady. And for him, it just hasn't come back down. And I'm still, I guess, I think I'm just still okay, sort of in that area where I'm hoping it will. And it's just really the price too. Like if he was 9,000, I wouldn't even have brought him up. But 7,400 with some of these other expensive pitchers on there. Tampa Bay doesn't have a ton of lefty power, so I'm not worried about him so much in that respect, even with the short porch. I think I'm willing to take the risk. I think the system's gonna have a hard time getting away from him, really, but I think I'm just willing to do it and just maybe just not watching the game and hoping for the best.
Sure. Well, and there aren't a lot of pitchers that are true talent 338 BABIP guys, which is what Pineda's been over the last two seasons. So the big question is, like, you know, so he went through his whole career in the minors with the BABIPs under 300, right? And so, you know, the Yankees could have a bad defense, or, you know, to your point, Yankee Stadium could be ill-suited. He may have made some poor adjustments that have caused him to pitch more poorly there. I'm not sure exactly what's going on. Certainly, obviously, like a high BABIP and a high home run of fly ball, he's obviously giving up a ton of hard contact. I still think that peripherals will win this battle in the long run. Another issue, it's a reverse Kluber point, which is that the Yankees seem sick of watching him stay out there and give up five runs, so he's got a shorter leash than he's had in the past. Yeah, I think it's still totally reasonable and probably a good play on DraftKings, even though it hasn't worked out that way. So, all right, let's dive real quick in and talk about one of our sponsors on the show. This is FantasyFactor.com. So FantasyFactor.com is a new DFS site, relatively new, and they are offering a bunch of contests for both this MLB and this football season. And we're pretty excited about them because, well, first of all, they are doing some things a little bit differently than a lot of other folks in the industry. One of the things I like about them best is how they do their bonuses. So where a lot of people do, you know, kind of the drip style bonus where you sign up and you have to play a bunch of contests in order to release your bonus. And ultimately, in many cases, you probably lost all your money by the time your bonus is finally live. Fantasy Factor allows you to sign up. You know, with a $10 deposit, you get to just sign up and start playing right away with your $5 deposit that they throw in there. And another nice thing about Fantasy Factor is that these are not shark-infested waters. It's a small enough site to where more casual players trying to get their feet wet in the game who don't want to just run right in and play against all the sharks in a 20,000-person tournament can really start cutting their teeth. Right now I'm looking, they have, you know, contests for $25 with like 25 entries. Again, these are not sharks filling these leagues. Bunch of MLB contests with five entries for low fees and a reasonable rake. So I think that FantasyFactor.com is a good site. They're up and coming. They're folks we know from the poker space back in the day. They seem like people with integrity. And if you don't want to play in these massive tournaments and face all the sharks with huge rakes, Fantasy Factor might be a great place to check it out. So just go there, use coupon code DFSR, and you'll get that $5 bonus. And we'll hope to see you over there.
Yeah, get in those contests now. Baseball, football, they have everything going up. And yeah, really like the interface, really like everything that they're doing. Let's talk about the bats today. The highest run line on the day, kind of by far, is the Nationals facing against Jake Thompson. They have 5.65 implied runs for our system right now. I don't really see another team that's close. There's a couple teams that are creeping up toward five. Are the Nationals where you're looking today mostly, or, I mean, are you going to be spreading out some different teams? Give me some of your thoughts here with the Nationals.
Sure. I mean, the Nationals obviously feature two primetime lefties in Murphy and Harper, and there will be a value guys you can splash around them. I mean, the nice thing about Thompson is he is just one of these guys that cannot catch a break at the major league level. And by that, I mean, he was unlucky enough to not be blessed with the physical skills to pitch there.
I was wondering where you were going. With that luck piece.
And some of the value guys, you know, you've got Trey Turner, obviously been very good recently. Wilson Ramos is pretty good against righties. So yeah, there's a lot of different ways you can go in Washington and fill out your lineup in a lot of, you know, both high cost and low cost areas.
It's so funny because I can already predict what people are going to say about these lineups that we're pumping out. The Nats were pretty heavily favored last night against the Phillies, and because it was such a short slate, they were really highly owned across it. Yep. And stunk, and like basically just got incredibly unlucky. the Philly starting pitcher, I think it was like Jake Ash or something like that, he had zero strikeouts through six innings and allowed zero runs. That will just almost never, ever happen for a pitcher, right, unless you were just about as lucky as you could ever get. Yeah, he had one walk, zero strikeouts in six innings pitched with two hits, which means they got BABIPed to death. And I know people will look at it and say, oh, Bryce Harper again, blah, blah, blah. Yes, Bryce Harper again. So let me just clear that up for anyone that that is confused about it. Harper again, Murphy again. I like Turner in this one. I really like everything about it. And like I can't state enough. The run line expectation on them, I was low. We're actually projecting at six right now. So the next closest, right, the next closest team is not even above five, I don't think, if I'm just running down the list real quick. Yeah, no. There's a couple other teams, like the Pirates come in right at five. The Giants in Chase come in right at five, and the Indians come in right at five. That's an enormous difference in expected runs for a certain team, and you just really can't ignore. I don't believe there's situations you really shouldn't ignore it, and this is one of them. I really, at this point, at least two, maybe three Nats in your cash game lineups makes a ton of sense to me considering the matchup, and that they just are a good offense in general.
Yeah, I think that's right. Another thing that you shouldn't be worried about is the fact that the Nats didn't crush Jake Thompson a couple weeks ago. You know, another one of those cases where three strikeouts against one walk and seven innings pitched, there's nothing to see there. Thompson's overall peripherals are so bad that we shouldn't worry about that too much. I think Washington Nats everywhere makes total sense. And then let's talk about some guys to sprinkle in around them.
Well, and just one more thing about it. The reason it's easy to sometimes hone in on a certain team or maybe a couple on a day like today is for the same reason we spent the first 22 minutes of the show talking about pitchers, because there's right. So many good pitchers going today. I mean, there's about 8 to 9 above average to elite pitchers going, yep. And that number actually might even be low. And so when, I don't know, half of the field is taking out because you don't want to roster a bat against those guys, the decisions actually become a lot closer for cash game purposes. The other team...
Yeah, that's a great call. I think to jump in on that as mm-hmm. well, it's a day where, to me, the pitcher decision is probably a lot less impactful to your overall expectation than the bats you roster, because so many of those guys are going to be so similar. And while, you know, we're hyping Martinez, you know, this is not one of those days where we're like, you have to play Strasburg. You know, it's a lot of those other guys could wind up being good plays too. And as money lines move and lineups come out, we might not even be on Martinez at lineup lock time. So, you know, this is just the pitchers are wide open today. The hitters is where you're going to really make hay. And that's why picking the game with the best money line is a good place to start.
And I'm always encouraged coming off games where teams were bad and they were highly owned, because if we've seen nothing in baseball, it's that people can just talk themselves into what happened yesterday. In no other sport do you hear as much of so-and-so burned me, so I'm not playing them again. That never, I mean, there's no other sport is even close to this. I mean, part of that is because baseball players just literally play every single day. But that
and
just,
they can score 0 points. You know, like LeBron right. can burn you, but if he scores like 25 points and gets 5 rebounds and 2 assists, like it doesn't feel like, you know, he just lit your world on fire. Whereas watching Miguel Cabrera leave guys on base makes you want to kill yourself.
Yeah, so. Or Bryce Harper specifically, because people just hate this guy's guts. The next team up, I would say, probably in terms of rounding out a cash game lineup, would be the Pirates. They are in a good spot. Like I said, they were one of the teams that was showing up with one of the higher expected run lines in the day. They get Tim Adelman. It's in Pittsburgh, which is not a great power park in general, but they have some interesting bats up and down the lineup. Marte has sat out the last couple games, so I'm not positive he's going to be back. If he was, he's a nice value. McCutchen is still coming cheap. Kong is cheap. Jaso. I would have to see how they kind of construct the lineup. Maybe if Matt Joyce was able to get back in there, but there's a couple interesting Pirates guys today that I don't mind filling out the rest of the lineup with.
Yeah, Pirates especially good for GPPs today, based on the actual profile of Tim Adelman. So while Thompson also, you know, obviously has a really high upside profile for opposing bats based on the incredible walk rate, Adelman is a guy. He's a huge fly ball pitcher, and you know that hasn't served him very well in his home park there, and you know the Pirates have some guys that will be under-owned that have big-time power potential. McCutchen in particular is the guy that's going to show up in our system everywhere today. You know, obviously better against lefties, but mostly he's better against bad pitchers and certainly qualifies. So, I'll be happy to roster any Pirates, and especially if you want to go in a big stack for a big tournament, this could be the one that gets you there.
Yeah, worth mentioning right now, I just ran the DraftKings optimal lineup, and it is Bumgarner, Pineda, and then four Nationals and four Pirates.
Oh, man. I don't think I've ever seen anything like that.
No, not on this big of a slate, for sure. It just doesn't happen. Well, because you're getting them all. I mean, the Pirates especially are coming at really low prices on DraftKings. Everyone's under, you know, basically 4,000 or less. And then if you're not spending on Pineda, who's only 7,400, well, now you can just roster Harper, Turner, Murphy, guys like that for in the 5,000 range pretty easily, and it rounds it out. Yeah. It is funny though, because the very next lineup is just kind of totally different. So it's really just that top lineup. These things always change. It's 10 o'clock in the morning Eastern Standard Time, so I'm not expecting this to be the lineup when, you know, all things come to lock. But it is just interesting to see how, you know, some of those implied runs are affecting the way at least the system wants to jam home some of these guys. Any other players sort of around the margins before we get out of here that you might want to consider to round things out? I know, like I said, I'm looking at things right now, mostly these Pirates and Nationals, but maybe there's a couple other guys you want to sprinkle in.
Yeah, sure. People are going to look at the Red Sox today, a reasonable matchup against Marco Estrada in Toronto. So great hitters park and obviously quite a strong lineup. The Red Sox, of course, are expensive, and their overall run total is below both the Pirates and the Nationals per Vegas today. So that's one of those things where, you know, I don't think you should trust the public team versus, you know, the lesser known but much better matchup teams like the Pirates and Nats. We didn't talk about Porcello, rightfully, because he's pitching at Toronto. Hopefully you won't play him today as he seeks his luckiest ever 20th win. Barb in there because it's really starting to irritate me. Going down, I mean, it starts to get pretty slim pickings. I mean, I think you can do some interesting things with the Cards against the Brewers and Jimmy Nelson today. You know, the Cards have some good left-handed bats. Like if you can put, you know, Adams and Matt Carpenter and maybe Brandon Moss if he plays, I don't know.
Yeah, that's an interesting stack for me. I think that those guys got written up in our main picks article, and I'm all for guys like that. They're always a wait and see on their lineup, although they've gotten a little more consistent lately. It's been more Carpenter, Jorko, Moss, Piscotty, like kind of like that. They're not doing as much of the plug and play with their lineup. They seem to have sort of settled on that lineup. And, you know, again, things always change. You can see like a Garcia or a Wong jump to the top, but I'm less concerned that they are going to throw a new crazy lineup because they've been pretty consistent with the one they've been running out there.
Yep. And the last probably under-owned stack will be the Indians against Tyler Duffy. Tyler Duffy has been a tale of two pitchers. I mean, he had back-to-back, like, you know, kind of rookie of the year-esque starts where he went out there and had 6 Ks in 6 innings, 8 Ks in 6 innings, three of them, 6 Ks and 1 walk in 7 innings. And people were like, this guy's going to be good. And then he was just completely abysmal in his last two starts, shot that ERA back up over 6. So, you know, a lot of solid lefty bats in Cleveland that you can stack along with maybe some value spots from the Nationals and Pirates, and that could be an interesting GPP stack. So, yeah, I think there's actually a lot of decent options as you surf around, but it's highly concentrated for such a big stack, so just be mindful of that.
I like when it's concentrated in this case, especially when I don't know who the pitchers are going to be, because I don't want when it's way less decisions, at least with one part of the lineup, I'm a little bit more encouraged about, you know, not having some of that implied safety from whoever's on the mound. So it's nice that it's at least trending one way in terms of the bats. Now, obviously, always the problem with the bats is they're much more variable on a game-to-game basis. But, you know, more times than not, if a team is expected to put up significantly more runs, that is just, they just are in a better spot than the other teams on the slate. So I'm just totally fine.
Yeah, and if you disagree with Vegas, go bet against it. You know, that's, if you really think you can find an edge, thinking the Nationals aren't going to score any runs, you have a lot of opportunities to do just that. So if you do think they're going to score runs, though, it stands to reason their best hitters will be involved.
Pal, I love the passive-aggressive tone to end this
kind
off.
Of the basics, okay, buddy?
We're from DailyFantasySportsRankings.com, DFSR.com for short. Head over right now to /LAB on the site, and you will grab a free trial through the first Sunday of football. You know, things kicked off last night, Thursday. We're going to jump onto a football podcast as well, so if you want to hear some more sports talk from us, make sure to subscribe to both in iTunes. Again, that package runs through Sunday and includes projections for FanDuel and DraftKings, optimal lineups for those two sites, and our brand new Player Lab that allows you to filter and really kind of run a bunch of different the criteria for plays in football. It's state of the art. We love it. We're going to have Blake, our other partner, on next week. He's going to talk about how they built it, how they put together the optimal lineup piece of it. He'll be on the podcast either Tuesday or Wednesday of next week. So look forward to hearing him talk and really, really get into the guts of how they put this thing together. We're really proud of it. Check it out, dfsr.com/LAB. Buddy, have a good weekend. Enjoy the baseball. I'm going to talk to you in a couple minutes for football.
Can't wait.